future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Bitcoin is currently trading at $6,540. That's down 0.5% in the last 24 hours. We have Ethereum currently trading at $205. That's down 1.5%. Ripple currently trading at 45 cents, down 2.5%. EOS currently trading at $5.38. That's down 0.5%. Litecoin currently trading at $52. That's down 2%. I want to give a special shout out to the team over at Ravencoin, currently trading at 3 cents, and that's up 14% in the last 24 hours, outperforming the market solidly in the last 24 hour period, I'd like to note. But that always changes, as we know. I remember one I did, I was like, I forgot the coin name, and it was up like 40%. I looked the next day, and it was down like 80%. So You can never really go just off a 24-hour volume period and price period or percentage change period for that matter. The market cap is $209 billion. Bitcoin's dominance of that is 54%. Still strong. So let's look into the Bitcoin dominance and actually take a look at what we've seen. So when the market cap's high, as we all know, so when we look at the $800 billion level, we had... back in January of this year, we saw the market cap at its lowest levels for Bitcoin, or Bitcoin dominance, sorry, at 32%. And that was in January this year when the market cap was around 800 billion. And now what's interesting about this is the higher the market cap, but back then in January, we also had a lot of market cap made off from the alt markets. The altcoin market, and that held a lot. Well, that brought a lot of capital to the table. So, what we've seen recently, for listeners that know or don't know, we've seen money coming out of the market, and especially the altcoin market. They've been seen as unstable. They've been seen as security tokens. They've been seen as projects that maybe aren't as baked as they initially made out to be, and aren't executing on their roadmap or whatever the case may be. And that money coming out of the market or going into something like Tether. Or moving back into fiat for that matter. And Bitcoin dominance has regained, which is really interesting. So watching Bitcoin dominance is very important because what we might have, and it could be a possibility, is that when the market runs back up again, which it will at some stage, remember this is not financial or trading advice, it'll be interesting to see what Bitcoin's dominance will do. Will Bitcoin lead the market? Or will we see what we saw last year with Bitcoin picking up and the altcoins taking over again? A lot of people think that security token offerings are going to be the next big thing for fundraising. So will it be a security token that will be taking up the predominant amount of market cap? So it's interesting, these things. But looking at it now is the best time because then we can see where it goes. We can start building patterns. We can start seeing trends in the market. But the truth is, there just isn't enough data at this current point in time to create, let's say, an algorithm, for example, because there's not enough data points there. And I'm not the only one to say this. There's many people out there that have made that knowledge publicly available. But what I think is really important is the fact that this market is sentiment driven. Stories mean a lot. Progress means a lot. Execution is very high. And it means a lot. If your project is executing, if they're actually creating revenue in their business, that's a real business. If you're not creating revenue and you don't have any plans to create revenue for the business, then it's not a business. And then the business has no value if it's not creating any revenue. Now, revenue doesn't mean you have to traditional buying and selling of a product. It means anything. You could be like Facebook made all their revenue from selling data, like anything. If you don't have a way to create revenue, you don't have a business. You're out of business. And the money that you raise in your ICO is going to go. Let's say that you kept your money in ETH, that's already gone. But let's say you didn't, you were smart, you moved it back into fiat. That money will run out over a certain amount of time because you're not creating revenue, you're not putting bread on the table, you're not creating a bottom line. And I think a lot of people really believe in the technology. And you see a lot of projects who are trying to do good stuff. But a lot of projects out there haven't figured out a way to, A, get users to use their project. So you can have the best project in the world, but if no one's using it, does it really have any value? If it's not implemented into an enterprise structure, or if it's not easy to adopt by the masses and you have zero users, it's not worth anything. So I think that kind of reality kicked in And I think it's still kicking in for a lot of different projects, and especially investors. I think investors have become incredibly smart now with regards to new and up and coming projects. And I think there's a lot of projects last year that if they were coming around this year, wouldn't receive the same funding, and no funding at all for that matter. So it'll be interesting to see what the next wave is. So with that in mind, this part of the show is the time to get down to business. So let's do just that. Let's get the inner scoop to what's been going on the last 24 hours, and let's get down to business. Something that was brought to my attention today was an interesting story regarding an exchange. Now, exchanges have been talked a lot recently, and it's getting kind of to the point where it's all about the exchanges, all about what's going on with the exchanges. But this is really interesting. It's to do with how a Bitcoin exchange is surviving a central bank crackdown in India. So India's regulators clamped down on cryptocurrency businesses in forcing the exchange startup Unicorn to experiment with stablecoins and ATMs to continue receiving fiat deposits from customers. Unicorn co-founder Sunny Ray told media sources his company hasn't been able to transact through regular banking channels with its 1.3 million customers for several months after the Reserve Bank of India, the RBI, banned banks from working with crypto or crypto companies in April. Most recently, Unicorn set up an ATM in a Bangalore mall where customers can deposit rupees in their exchange accounts without a bank or credit card. In the coming weeks, Unicorn will open a few more ATMs in Mumbai and Delhi. We're essentially employing bank-grade ATM machines, Ray said. Also, some of our users are quickly transferring their rupees to the Ethereum-based TrueUSD token, which Unicorn began supporting in August, then using it to purchase Bitcoin or other assets down the line when the price feels right. As a so-called stablecoin, TrueUSD is designed to maintain parity of the US dollar. For customers outside Bangalore, support for stablecoins may provide an indirect way to add or hold value in their Unicorn accounts without quite as much volatility. I'll bet it falls short of a fiat on-ramp. However, the transaction volume is still less than 1,000 TUSD per day, so Tether tokens per day, which is $1,000. We never even considered that stablecoins before, Ray said. That's more just like a gap solution. It's not like an actual final solution to everything. As Unicorn investigates how to scale compliant ATMs, Ray said the team is looking to expand to Malta and Canada in case operating in India becomes impossible altogether, all while exploring the options for listing several new stablecoins. Stepping back, an ongoing legal battle to overturn or alter this ban hasn't yielded any results to date. Meanwhile, the ban is having a huge impact on India's crypto community, with the popular exchange startup Zedbay abruptly shutting down late last month. As Kashif Raza, a co-founder of Crypto Canoon, an Indian regulatory news startup, told media sources, the crypto community is suffering from this ban, as there have been two instances where the bank accounts of individuals have been closed who were found to be dealing in cryptocurrencies. The crackdown has been so severe that Raza said it has created a misconception in India that Bitcoin itself is outlawed, even though the ban only applies to entities governed by RBI. From a regulatory perspective, there hasn't been any real clarity, Ray said. We as a company are working on a couple of solutions. So none of this should imply that Indian crypto startups are now operating in a black market. To the contrary, Raza said exchange accounts can sometimes require more know your customer or KYC paperwork than opening a new Indian bank account. Many see the ban as an inconvenient pause, not a death knell. That's interesting because India itself, such a big market, everyone tries to break into it. But they were really big on crypto. I remember, like, you know, when you looked at an ICO and where they raised funds back last year, you could see a breakdown. India was very big in the ability to, I think they're quite innovative as people, but they're also getting in like to a lot of the big ICOs. They were big crypto holders, but it's a shame that the central bank there has really kind of cast a bad spell over it. But I think it's ingenious what these guys did, opening up an ATM or a cash point and getting people to deposit rupees to a stable coin to then trade to their account. That's ingenious. And I think what they need to do is just flood the streets with them everywhere to get their customers back in business, or at least find out what their biggest customers are or were or live, and basically put a machine like right outside their house. Get aggressive with the marketing, man. I love that. Let's go. So another story that caught my attention was that US Marshals to auction $4.3 million in Bitcoin next month. So the US Marshals have announced a plan to auction off nearly $4.3 million worth of Bitcoin next month. The government agency said in an announcement on Wednesday that the sealed bid auction is for about 660 Bitcoins that were forfeited in federal, criminal, civil, and administrative cases. Scheduled to start November 5th, the auction requires would-be bidders to deposit $200,000 after registering their identification with the agency no later than October 31st. Based on the announcement, the auction consists of two parts, with six blocks of 100 Bitcoin each, and one remaining block with 60 Bitcoins. Bidders will not be able to view other bids or change their bid once submitted. Wow, I like that. A little bit of competitiveness, man, a little bit of spice. The US Marshal said, so the agency indicated some of the assets in the auction include Bitcoin forfeited in several recent cases of the US government's lawsuit against Bitcoin traders Treasury Tetley and Thomas Mario Constanzo, both sentenced to jail on charges of Bitcoin money laundering. While the US Marshals did not reveal how much of the forfeited assets from the two convicts, the planned auction comes just months after the US Marshals sold over 2,100 Bitcoins and 3,600 in March and January, respectively, an amount totaling more than $50 million at the time. That's crazy, dude. So you basically submit the price you're willing to pay and then hope that you're the highest bidder. So I guess people are just going like 10% below market. I wonder if they'll reveal the price. I guess they won't. I remember Tim Draper, I think it was, back last year. Last year, they had a massive auction of Bitcoin and he was like one of the buyers. And he announced afterwards, he didn't say how much he paid, but he announced that he was one of the buyers because normally it's kind of kept in secrecy. But apparently he got a good deal. He hasn't made what his deal was public, but I'm sure this is a massive opportunity for any guys out there. And I don't know about anyone listening, but I get hit up, I don't know, 5-10 times a day by people trying to like buy 40,000 Bitcoin or like trying to sell 40,000 Bitcoin all the time. And I don't really know, like a lot of them have never done a trade before and I don't really know what the deal is, but and maybe these guys need to start up in their game and registering with the US Marshal to get some auction Bitcoin, man. That seems like the way forward. All right, so how are we looking with time? Okay, it's 7:30 p.m. I have to bounce with Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, to the Definity meetup actually taking place here in London. Arthur, who's one of the main guys over there, is basically always on tour. He's in London tonight. He's a good friend of ours. I'm going to pop in. And we've got a little present for him. So we're gonna deliver the present and hang out with those guys. Definity, for those who don't know, is a third generation blockchain, as they say. But it's also a new protocol that's going to be launching very soon with some of the biggest backers in the industry, including Pantera and a lot of other different funds. They're a decentralized cloud computing play. They've been in the making for quite a while now, and definitely check them out if you haven't already. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your attention. As always, if you enjoyed today's show, feel free to leave a nice comment. Always put a smile on our face here at SVK Crypto. With that in mind, remember, as always, to join our Telegram, SVK Crowd. Everyone is welcome. We look forward to seeing you all there. Twitter at SVK_crypto. And of course, if you have a project or you try and get in hold or in contact with us, email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.